Good evening, brethren. Welcome to this opening night service of the Feast of Tabernacles 2012. As I have said in the other sermons, even the scriptures, when I read them, I will pause in between to allow the translator time to translate the reading. And of course, as I speak, I will speak in short phrases to allow the translator translate what I say. Hopefully, he will give an exact translation. So, welcome to this opening night service. We should always, brethren, we should always bear in mind what God has said in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim, shall be holy convocations. These are my feasts." So we want that to be in the mind of everybody, that these feasts we are keeping are not the feast of the Jews. They are not the feast of the Church of God in Wales, but they are the feasts of God Almighty. Brethren, the Church of God in Wales, COGIW, feels the need to be more involved in the feast programs of all congregations much more than in the past years. There are many reasons, but I will just give two of them. We want to be more involved in the feast programs of the East and South African congregations. First, because Mr. Bowles now feels that I should take care of the area as his associate pastor. So we want to be more involved because that is the work of a pastor. The second reason is that Jesus Christ himself, even before he went to die on the cross, prayed for the church in John chapter 17. And his ardent prayer, his strong desire, was that his church should always be one under him and under God the Father. Let's notice John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23. John 17, verse 20 to 23. After praying for his disciples, Christ says in verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone," that is for the disciples alone, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word," that is through their preaching. Verse 21, John 17, Jesus Christ says, "I pray for them that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. You can see how many times in just 4 verses Christ emphasized they may be one as we are one. Apostle Paul also in Ephesians chapter 4 emphasized unity in God's church. That's why we want to be more involved in your feast programs, and from then on we will also be involved in other activities and programs of the various areas from which people have written to us that they want to be part of COGIW. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 1 to 6, this is what Apostle Paul wrote. It's titled, Walk in Unity, in the New King James. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, that is, I beg you, to have a walk that is worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all lowliness of mind, that is humility, and all gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, Ephesians 4, with all those humility, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor means try very, very hard to keep the unity in the Spirit, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? Because verse 4 says, because there is one body, we're supposed to be one body, and there is one Spirit, God's Spirit that He gives to us after baptism. Just as you are called with one hope, we're all hoping for one thing, the resurrection from the dead. We all have one Lord, Jesus Christ. We all have one faith, that is, one set of beliefs. We all have one baptism. It's a baptism by immersion, that's water baptism, and baptism into the body. When we receive God's Spirit, we are immersed into the body of Christ. Verse 6. We also have one God and Father of all, who is above all. That means He is in control of the church, and all authority flows from Him through Christ, through others. So we have one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So Christ prayed in John 17 for unity. Apostle Paul here is saying the churches of God, actually the congregations of one church of God, all of us are congregations. We should be part of one body, We should have one set of beliefs, one faith, and we should have one set of practices. This is why we are starting this year. We have, with all long suffering and patience, allowed things to go on as they have been for some time. But starting this year, 2012, we would like to be more involved in the feast and in other areas of church administration. We would like to be more involved in other areas of church administration so that we can bring about the unity of the faith mentioned in verses 11 to 16 of the same Ephesians chapter 4. Let me start in verse 11, and we will see that the various ranks in the ministry were given by God with the intention that the church will come to the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4:11 to 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what job? For the purpose of equipping the saints for work of ministry. So the saints, all of us called by God, will be able to do the work of serving. Ministry means serving God's people, serving God. So the ministry was given to equip the saints for this. Continuing in verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, all of that will lead to what we read here. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of course unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is why Romans 8:29, Romans 8:29 says we are growing to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Here in Ephesians 4:13, we see that we are to grow to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Some people say the sacred calendar should be observed by looking at the moon. We follow the calculated form that the Jewish leaders have delivered so that Jews all around the world will keep the same holy days at the same time. Some others have different interpretations, but the unity of the faith should bring us to the point where we become mature Christians, ready to become the bride of Christ. Christ is not going to marry an immature bride. Not only do we conform to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29, we also grow to become mature and reach the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. And at atonement we saw the devil is a deceiver, so they are ministers of the devil if they want to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, all of us may grow up in all things into Christ, should become like Christ in every way, who is the head of the one body, the church. Then verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its own share of the work. And so the body grows and it grows and edifies itself in love. We notice here that God is saying through Apostle Paul that the ministry was given to help the church members grow and become one, and not to be easily deceived, as we read in Atonement, Satan is the deceiver, by different doctrines. We remain one, and that the church will grow if everybody does his own share of the work. Everybody has a part to contribute. That's how the body edifies itself in love. So we should not sit and feel that we are bench warmers. No, everybody has a part to play. And we are all to work together to bring about unity in beliefs and practices. Ministers are not only to work to maintain the unity in the faith, but we are all to grow to the maturity and stature of Christ, to become a perfect man or woman, ready for the seventh trumpet when Christ will return to change us. By that time, we should have conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So, starting this year, we will be more involved with all those who contact us, those who, like all of us in COGIW, want to remain faithful to the teachings of God's church, teachings that God gave to his end-time apostle, Mr. Armstrong, to give to us and to give to the world. Because before 1934, when God called Mr. Armstrong and taught him these things, every church was teaching that if you are good, you die and go to heaven. If you are bad, you die and go to the ever-burning hellfire. So anybody who wants to conform to the truth that the kingdom will be established on earth, that God is only working with first fruits, and when Christ comes, the first fruits will be chained, Satan will be bound, so that he should deceive the nations no more. And when they see the first fruits in the kingdom, they will all believe the doctrines, the teachings that God gave to his end-time apostle to give to us. So, our programs at feast sites generally involve the following. This is how we have been conducting the feast under Mr. Armstrong in the days of the Worldwide Church of God before it went into apostasy. And all those who contact us in Church of God in Wales will be taught to continue in the things that we have learned from God's apostle, Mr. Armstrong. Most feast sites would have an opening night service like this one. An opening night service, because actually, in God's eyes, a day begins in the evening of the previous day and ends the next day in the evening. So the first day of the feast, 2012, has begun from this evening, September 30th, and the first day will end in the evening of October 30th. So there is an opening service, opening night service, in most of the feast sites. That's one thing we want to come to the unity of the faith in. Then, on the first holy day, on the last great day, and then on the weekly Sabbath that falls during the 7 days of the feast, we generally would have two services. Most feast sites try to have two services, a morning or AM service and an afternoon or PM service. That is a tradition that most feast sites try to follow. On other days of the feast, we then have only one church service. Another thing, church services used to be very long. In the early days of the Church of God under Mr. Armstrong, it was long because there was so much that the new brethren needed to be taught, and the feast time was the time that everybody gathered together. Even areas that did not have congregations and so did not have regular church services, and in those days there was no internet or cassette program, when they come for the Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days, and also it happened in the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, Mr. Armstrong would teach and teach and teach. So church services used to be very long. Today, each church service, or whether we give a Bible study, is kept within the 2 hour limit. That is, we try to make each service last for 2 hours. Another thing that we would like to come to the unity of the faith is that we do not start church services with an opening prayer. We start first by singing 3 hymns. We sing from the original hymnal that was used in the days of Mr. Armstrong. We sing 3 hymns, then we call a baptized member, and it has to be a man. We do not allow women to preach or to give opening or closing prayer. This again is part of the teaching Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. So somebody, a baptized member, gives an opening prayer. And if there's only one baptized member, it generally means he will lead songs, he will give the opening prayer, he will preach the messages, and he will give the closing prayer. If not, all of that will be done on the cassette or the CD sermon sent to you, with the hymns, the opening prayer, the closing prayer, all on one CD. after the three hymns and the opening prayer, then follows a short message we call the sermonette. Sermonette means short message. This lasts between 10 and 15 minutes. After the sermonette, we sing one more hymn before the leading man gives the announcements or reads from the update, if that area receives the update, because we are supposed to be watching and praying that when the great tribulation comes, we will be accounted worthy to be protected by God. So the leading member gives the announcements and then introduces the main speaker. If it is a recorded message on a CD, he will then play the CD message. Sometimes if there is a choir in the area and they are going to sing a special number, they sing it at this point before the speaker comes up. So in some areas where there is no choir and there will not be any special music, there are two hymns sung after the sermonette. So a sermonette for 10 to 15 minutes, we sing two hymns, the leading man gives the announcements, and then he introduces the main speaker or plays the sermon tape or sermon CD. So the main message will last for about 1 hour, a little longer or a little shorter than an hour. Then we sing a closing song, a closing hymn, and again the leading man or a baptized member is called to give the closing prayer, and services are dismissed. We would like to encourage all the leaders in various areas to review this section of the message, if possible to write it down somewhere so they remember, and try to conduct services in this way, so that when a member travels to any congregation of God's church, they will meet the same program, the same order of service, and they will know they are with God's people. And we encourage all congregations to make a greater effort to learn the hymns in the original COG, Church of God hymnals, used in the days of Mr. Armstrong. When we visited in March 2012, we gave CDs to each area containing these hymns, both the choral version, that is, there was a choir singing some of them, and then the piano accompaniment. And this year, Mr. Bowles has approved money to be added to the feast assistance for CD players to be bought this year. So in a sense, no congregation will have an excuse for not being able to learn the songs each time they meet for services, so that by next year people will know enough songs to have a good church service. This is all part of continuing in the unity of the faith, unity in beliefs and practices, so that visitors anywhere will not be thrown off guard or caught off guard with a different program. When Christ returns, the Feast of Tabernacles begins, or the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ begins, which this Feast of Tabernacles pictures, there will be one way of doing everything, starting with one God in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Let's read the scriptures to see how things will be done when Christ returns. The book of Zechariah is the second to the last in the Old Testament. Zechariah before Malachi, or Malachi as it is pronounced in some areas, Malachi. Zechariah comes before that. Zechariah 14 verse 9. In that day, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, it shall be that the Lord is one, and his name one. Lord means master, God, the one in charge, a savior. He will be one God. We will have one Lord, one master, one Jesus Christ over all the earth. Then in Zephaniah, if we go backwards, after Zechariah is the book of Haggai, and after Haggai is Zephaniah. Look at again how there will be unity in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. The prophet here was told to reveal that at that time, God says, I will restore to the peoples a pure language, one language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. That is, with one mind, one purpose, one order of service, everybody conducting services in the same way. Again, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 38 to 40, notice again, talking about Israel specifically, God says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and then I will give them one heart, one mind, one purpose, and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. So one way of worship, one set of laws, one way of governance, everything will be done with the same unity of purpose, unity of beliefs, unity in practices. I will give them one way so that they will all serve me with one accord. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear into their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. So when Christ returns to set up the kingdom of God, which this Feast of Tabernacles pictures, things will be done in one way, not as in the days of Judges, where each man did what was right in his own eyes, not as we find it today in the many scattered congregations calling themselves the Church of God, the Eternal Church of God in Truth, Jerusalem Church of God, Church of God in Wales, Living Church of God, and so on and so forth. There will be one way for doing everything. We speak one language, and we'll have just one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. in our effort to bring about unity of beliefs and practices, apart from this opening night message, I have also recorded 3 sermons for this feast. One will be played tomorrow, the first holy day, along with any sermon from the CD that Mr. Bowles has sent to the various areas. I have also recorded 1 message for the last great day, the 8th day after 7 days of Feast of Tabernacles. That also will be played along with a last great day message from the CD that Mr. Bowles has sent. Then I have recorded a 3rd message that can be played in the middle of the feast, showing how we have been called to be teachers. So I have recorded 3 messages for the feast this year, apart from this opening night message. And the leaders will also play sermons from Mr. Bowles' CDs. And where they have prepared messages or sermonettes, they can fit them in around these messages, so that people hear the teachings of God from their leaders in their countries, as well as from Mr. Bowles overall in the UK, where the office is. We hope again that the CD players will make playing the sermons possible. And we want to encourage all the leaders that when they speak, they should do as Mr. Bowles suggested when we visited with him in 2011, that leaders should use the Bible correspondence course lessons to teach. So we are all speaking the same thing. Finally, brethren, God has called us His first fruits to be trained to be teachers of God's way of life, so that when Christ comes and gives us 5 cities or 10 cities, we will be ready to teach. Notice Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. It says here that they sang a new song before the throne of God and the Lamb was present, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue, out of every people and nations, and you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." It sounds like the people there were saying this, but actually if you look in the margin, it is, "You have redeemed them to our God by your blood, and you have made them." If you have a marginal reference, you see that it is not us. The translators thought we are going to heaven, but correctly translated, it is, "You have made us," you have made them, that is those God has redeemed, Christians today, the first fruits, "to be kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Now, what does a priest do? We all know what a king does. A king administers the government of God, or the government of the nation. What does a priest do? in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, which I said some people call Malachi, Malachi chapter 2 verse 7, he says, this is the job of a priest. The lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should go to him to seek understanding of the law of God. From his mouth, the priest is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. So the priest is to have the knowledge of the Bible and should be able to teach it when people come to ask questions. Now in Luke chapter 19, we read in Luke 19 the parable of the miners or pounds, where Jesus Christ said, this is what the kingdom of God was like. I just paraphrase from verse 12 to 19. That a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And we all can guess correctly that this is Jesus Christ. So he called 10 of his servants. So notice 10 of them. So it's just the first fruits. And delivered to them 10 minas. And said to them, do business till I come. If we drop down to verse 16, it says, when he came back, the first came saying, Master, the one mina you gave me has earned 10 minas. Look at the reward he was given, verse 17. Christ said to him, well done, good servant. Because you are faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Rule 10 cities. The second also came and said, Master, the talent you gave me, one mina, has earned 5 minas. And Christ says to him, likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. So Revelation 5, 9 to 10 says, Christ has made us priests and kings, and we shall reign on the earth under Christ. And here we see that some will have 5 cities, some will have 10 cities. And the priest's job is to teach the way of God. So when people come in Isaiah chapter 2, saying, please teach us your way, we want to walk in your paths, we will be ready to teach God's way. You will be ready to do what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. We would have studied, we would have known how to rightly explain or rightly divide the word of truth. And so we'll be ready to be sent to rule over 5 cities or 10 cities that we have qualified to rule. Brethren, this is our calling: to develop holy, righteous character, to qualify to rule, to qualify to be teachers of God's way of life. As Mr. Bowles emphasized, we should use the Bible correspondence course lessons. So we are all speaking the same thing. Because if we come from Pentecostal backgrounds or different backgrounds, Anglican background, into the Church of God, it is very likely that our Pentecostal ideas or Anglican ideas will flow into our sermons. To avoid this, to make sure we have a unity of the faith, we all teach from the same source, from the Bible correspondence course lessons. We explain the feast days, how they should be kept, atonement is kept, and then we will have a unity of the faith. Everybody will grow to the maturity and stature of Jesus Christ and be ready to rule 5 cities or 10 cities. During this Feast of Tabernacles, Lesson 30 covers everything about the Feast of Tabernacles that we need to know, so leaders can pick their messages from there any day they are not playing my sermon or Mr. Bull's sermons. Lesson 30 will give them enough material to speak from. Lesson 31 covers the last great day. Leaders can also review Lesson 20, which shows that we are now called to be trained to become rulers of 5 cities, 10 cities. There is so much material in these Bible lessons that no speaker at the Feast of Tabernacles can say he is short of material to preach. So by learning to teach God's way of life, having a unity in the faith, the bride would have made herself ready when Christ returns. But brethren, let's note that in Matthew 25, Christ gave another parable about the kingdom of God, that at the end time, these times we are living in, the church will be like 10 virgins who have the lamp of God. Thy word is a lamp, David said. So they have the word of God. They have been baptized. They have God's Holy Spirit, which is the oil in the lamp. But because Christ delayed in coming, all 10 of them fell asleep. And at the end time, God began to blow a trumpet, a warning message, which we explain that the Feast of Trumpet is a message, the gospel message is a warning message. That trumpet message was blown through the teachings of Mr. Armstrong, and all the 10 virgins woke up, and only 5 were ready to enter the kingdom of God. 5 missed the opportunity to enter. But if we do what we are learning during these feasts, from these sermons that we are sending to various areas, all of us will be like the 5 wise virgins, and only those who go through the great tribulation will be the 5 foolish virgins. Let me end this opening night message with one more Bible reading from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, I will read from verse 1 to 5. Hebrews chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Again, the translator should just translate what I read, since we do not have time to read from the local language Bible. Therefore, verse 1, we should all give a more earnest heed, that is, be serious about the things we are hearing. Give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip or drift away from our minds. Because the word spoken through angels in the past, the prophets and so on, the word of God spoken through angels proved to be true, proved steadfast. And every time people transgressed and disobeyed, they received a just reward. Verse 2. Now verse 3, picking up on the thought in verse 1, that we should give a more earnest heed to what we are hearing and make sure we follow it to the letter. Verse 3 asks us, how shall we escape God's punishment if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and then his disciples confirmed, those who heard him carried the message to us, and God also bore them witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, which he did. We can see in the book of Corinthians and other places, he did according to his will. So today, if it's God's will, we'll see his ministers pray for people, they will be healed and so on. But signs and wonders and various miracles, various gifts of the Spirit he gave to people in Corinth and so on, were all done according to God's will. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Verse 5 now to end. Because God is not planning to put the world to come, of which we are talking about in this Feast of Tabernacles, and we talk about in other sermons, he is not planning to put this world to come under angels, in subjection to angels. Let me read up to verse 6. One testified in a certain place, this is quoting David in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you take care of him? For now you've made him a little lower than the angels, but we are going to see him later crowned with glory and honor, and you will set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection, or God is planning to put all things in subjection under our feet. In that he said all things, he has left nothing out that is not put under him. But now we do not see it that way. Only Christ Jesus is in total control of everything. So it's a great plan and purpose of salvation that God has for us. And how can we escape the judgment of God if we neglect these things we are learning? That we've been called to be teachers, to be priests and kings of God's way of life. And we should learn and prepare to teach. So as we start this Feast of Tabernacles, let's keep in mind the purpose for which God has called us. We hope you all have a good night's rest and come back tomorrow for the AM morning service and later for the PM afternoon service. And we have all the messages that we need to make it a joyful feast for us. So let's look forward to a joyous 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. Good night.